Welcome, True Believer readers, to another episode of Let's Read Spider-Man, the best podcast to break down hard-hitting dialogue such as, "Bonsoir, madame, your chicken McNuggets are ready?" Here to provide analysis of that line and so much more is my friend Eddie. How are you today, Eddie?
I'm doing well. That French you just gave us, French accent, I should say, with chicken McNuggets is maybe upsetting me slightly. I don't know. But we do have someone back with us to look over these books. It's Ian. How are you doing today, Ian?
Well, I'm doing good. Recovering from a St. Patrick's Day drumline party I left. And I ate way too much green food. But other than that, I'm doing good.
This sounds like a problem a nearly 15-year-old boy might have, eating too much food. Well, why don't you start us off, JP, get us into our first book.
From March of 1988, Stan Lee presents The Amazing Spider-Man 298, Chance Encounter. Written by David Michelin, pencils by Todd McFarlane, and inks by Bob McLeod.
Whoa, I need to stop the train right here. Because the cover is very different. You can immediately recognize that Todd McFarlane is doing the penciling and illustrations. Spider-Man has a very highly detailed and loopy web. I'm super excited to get to this penciler we've heard so much about. Well, we begin with Chance, who has been hired to steal an arms shipment from the Life Foundation, actually a criminal organization. Meanwhile, Peter is once again feeling insecure about his income and worth compared to his supermodel wife. He resourcefully impresses MJ, which ends in a walk to the bedroom. Lately, many interactions between Peter and MJ have ended with implied sexual connotations. I guess it's a theme to show that they are still in the honeymoon phase of their relationship, although has a distinctly adult vibe. Anyways, Peter takes a job that Joy Mercado is too busy to do, investigating the same arm shipment Chance is supposed to steal.
I like the dynamic of married Peter and MJ, but I don't really think that MJ is the best match for Peter. I think Gwen is better, but MJ is an easy second choice for me. But I'm not so sure about Peter's underwear bow tie outfit he tries to impress MJ with.
It's important that Ian has been getting older and older because some of these adult content type books, I wouldn't have trusted Ian a couple of years ago to be covering with us. So I appreciate that he's been aging and now he's able to handle these more adult themed books.
Yeah.
All right. Well, later at the pier, Chance quickly subdues anyone guarding the weapons as Spidey gazes on unseen, photographing the heist. When Chance blasts a guard, possibly killing him, Spider-Man intervenes. The cops show up as a blackout occurs, giving Chance the chance to rocket away. When Chance arrives to sign for his reward with the criminal group that hired him, he is electrocuted into an unconsciousness. In Chelsea, Peter feels badly that he photographed instead of stopped the criminal act for profit, and MJ reminds him that happiness doesn't have a price tag. At the end, a new villain looms mysteriously. I like this relationship, Ian, of MJ and Peter, because MJ is the breadwinner in this household. It's nicely non-traditional. I know we're 1988, but I don't think this is happening too often. I'm not sure the supermodel that's never gone to college makes more than the Midtown High and Empire State U science student is a great theme for the youth of the 80s.
I noticed that this book from 1988 also references IBM. Recently in Web of Spider-Man, we discussed ICM, if you recall that, which is International Computing Machines. That was in front of our previous podcast. ICM only appears three times in Spider-Man comics. We covered the first two already. So that's why they come back and, you know, bring up IBM here. But maybe ICM's in the next book. Let's see if it is. From April of 1988, Stan Lee presents The Amazing Spider-Man 299, Survival of the Hittest. Written by David Michelin, pencils by Todd McFarlane, and inks by Bob McLeod.
We begin with Chance unconscious and being transported by the, quote, Life Foundation to an underground facility in New Jersey called Sanctum Maximus. This looks like a contemporary breed of apartments as opposed to some sort of evil lair. In New York City, at the uber-hip spawning club, MJ and Peter are out for the night. When they return home, Peter has trouble falling asleep, thinking about how he must go looking for the stolen arms. The next day, with a little sleuthing, Peter figures out that the weapons are almost certainly headed to northern New Jersey. So he sneaks into Sanctum Maximus to find Chance beat up and locked to a chair. Chance explains that the Life Foundation is a group of yuppie survivalists selling Armageddon-proof $5 million condos. Spidey releases Chance as guards burst through the doors. The pair fight their way out, and Chance blows up the facility before they both head home. In Chelsea, MJ comes home to a mysterious, terrifying Spider-Man-like baddie in her apartment.
I'm not really a big fan of Chance. There should be more to do with his namesake other than making dumb bets that he does occasionally lose. And I think he should have luck powers like Black Cat, or at least a good reason to be named Chance.
Yeah, he's not my favorite character either. He's kind of like the poor man's Iron Man is what I would call him. This book is weird in general, though. This post-apocalyptic luxury condos, they want to survive in their hot tubs. I really thought that Chance, there would be more to him. Like you said, Ian, it would be nice to have something else like that. If you remember the Foreigner listeners, he always kind of plays it cool. Chance comes off as the same kind of cool character. Spidey finds him whistling The Gambler by Kenny Rogers when he's like beat up and chained to a chair.
Did you know those lyrics? Did you have to look them up?
I had to look them up. I didn't know this dude.
Yeah, it's not the famous lyrics from The Gambler, that's for sure. Hey, you guys have covered a lot of this. I think it was interesting to have Spider-Man working with Chance because he is literally a murderer and we all know it. And I can't see Spider-Man being like, we'll work together for a while, Mr. Murderer. I mean, he barely puts up with the Punisher, who seems to be a good guy.
Right.
I wasn't as opposed to it for a little while because it made sense. But then Chance is like, hey, you need a lift home. And Spider-Man like jumps on his back and he flies him back to Manhattan.
Yeah.
That was a little strange. Like you guys, I enjoy Peter and MJ hanging out. I like them discussing Spider-Man's villains and activities. I'm glad he's got someone he can talk to about these things. We haven't seen this since The Black Cat. Yeah. So yeah, that's that. We're not going to continue with the next book yet. We're going to save that Amazing Spider-Man 300, the famous intro to Venom book, for another podcast.
Yeah.
But we're going to squeeze one more in here, going back to my promise to fill in some of the books we missed in the past. From 1983, Stanley presents Spider-Man Firestar and Iceman in At the Dallas Nutcracker. Written by Jim Salakrup, pencils by Jim Madman Mooney, and inks by John Tartag.
After a lovely Christmas with Aunt May, Peter's in Dallas visiting his friends Bobby Drake, the Iceman, and Angelica Jones, Firestar, to see the Dallas Ballet perform Tchaikovsky's Nutcracker. But before the show begins, there's trouble. Daddy Longlegs, an outcast danseur, enhanced by some replica giant man formula, is literally trying to steal the show while proclaiming,
"If I can't dance, no one will!"
What a proclamation. Daddy Longlegs is quickly subdued by the hero trio, and they head into the theater to enjoy a very accurately drawn and written Nutcracker performance.
If you just heard Eddie making his own voice sounds, that means he wasn't willing to go, like, play a song and
upload. Find a violin in my household.
Yes, but perhaps, Eddie, I will also say, great job, Eddie, playing that in the violin. You're so talented.
Okay, we'll just we'll find out in the future. The book ends with our hero trio declaring it was a wonderful experience and Daddy Longlegs being arrested by the cops. Daddy Longlegs is one of the craziest villains we've seen in a while. He's in a tuxedo. He's super spindly, but really strong, I guess. And he's angry he was rejected for being too short as a dessur. Dessur is the word for a male ballerina, by the way, everyone.
We know that. Ian knows it for sure, because Ian spends a lot of time at the, you know, Dallas Nutcracker, right, Ian?
I don't at all, actually. I haven't even thought about it.
Geographically, though, Ian, you are by far the closest to Dallas of the three of us. So, what'd you think?
I did not like this book. One, I did not like Daddy Longlegs at all. He was a stupid villain. And two, there was zero, like, Dallas representation. They just said it was in Dallas. I would have thought it was still in New York if they didn't say that. And there's just half the book is the Nutcracker, and I don't think we need that.
Well, it reminds me of Marvel Team-Up 41 through 44, when we got a very historically accurate account of the Salem witch trials. This one we had, it was extremely accurate. I have played Nutcracker several times, so I know the ballet quite well. But, Ian, you're the target audience, and probably a lot of your target audience did not approve of this book, too, even at the time.
No. I skipped that part of the book.
You just flipped through? You didn't read through?
Yeah, I did not read that part at all.
I'm not going to yell at Ian for skipping parts of the book in this occasion. This is a...
The Rat King coming to life?
This is different. No? This book, listeners, was a Dallas Herald supplement, meaning you got a free copy of this book if you bought the Dallas Herald.
Yeah, it was in the newspaper.
It's an 8-page Spider-Man story about Spider-Man, for sure. And then there's an 8-page comic book story of the Nutcracker. I figured it was advertising. I was surprised how much advertising the Dallas Herald said, hey, come watch the Nutcracker. This is what it's going to be like. Go see it in person. I thought it was a good compromise. Speaking of advertising, I think it's time to squeeze in a sponsor.
All right. Let's hear him, James B.
Eddie, Spider-Man and his books might mention IBM, but IBM is an expensive company you'd have to deal with. Today's returning sponsor is once again ICM, which stands for International Computing Machines Corporation. What if you, Eddie, could discover deeper insights buried inside your brain with less effort in a fraction of the time? With ICM, you could boost the productivity of knowledge workers by automating the discovery of information with insights and replacing half the employees with robots. That means faster business results, more Spider-Man hunting robots, and more satisfied customers. 30% of global banking institutes use ICM. ICM was named a leader in the 2022 Gartner Magic Quadrant for Insight Engines. ICM, where the future is now.
Well, James B., I am a fan of AI in general, but ICM, aren't they associated with some fairly questionable organizations outside of, you know, their main one?
Well, we did see in, now I know this wasn't in the books we covered today, but we, you know, because today they did mention IBM. Even though we talked about IBM in this book, we just talked about ICM and Web of Spider-Man. Remember that book, Eddie?
Yeah, well, we had Steve and the Living Brain, and then he put on his, you know, super suit to become a freak.
Right, and he's a young person. He's a young teenager in high school, and he was able to use the power of ICM and do so much with it. Ian, if you could get the power of ICM, are you a teenager in high school, Ian?
Yes, I am.
Okay, so if you could grab the power of ICM, you know, would you take advantage of that?
Oh, of course I would.
Yeah, so...
I mean... Yeah.
Yeah, who wouldn't want to, like, destroy most of New York City because you were angry at some classmate?
Well, we don't need to talk about that part.
Right. You could use your robots for Ian's little company where he makes 3D printing as opposed to destroying Spider-Man, Eddie. You always have to see the negative of everything.
Exactly.
You wouldn't need a metronome anymore, Ian, for your drum line.
Oh, that could be helpful. Mm.
See, there you go, Eddie. Eddie agrees. No.
Why am I encouraging the youth of today?
ICM. The future is now. Ian, do you have anything to add about these three books? Any of them?
Yeah. How is it that this Life Foundation was able to hide an entire city in New Jersey inside of another building. Like, how does that make any sense?
Well, they are making an incredible amount of profit at $5 million a condo in 1988. So, you know, if you just pay enough people, right? You can hide anything. It's New Jersey. All sorts of things can happen in New Jersey.
What's wrong with New Jersey, Eddie? You're going to have one very angry listener in New Jersey.
It's true. Well, we would be happy to hear from that New Jersey listener anytime.
Speaking of listeners, you guys got time to hear one of our letters?
Yes, let's hear them.
Hard at Work Nick writes, hey, James B. and Eddie, couple questions for you. Where do you read the issues that you don't physically own? I'm using Marvel Unlimited, and they're missing issues with some titles, especially Marvel Team-Up. Luckily, it sounds like most of what is missing this time were around the Hulk books instead of Spider-Man, so I don't feel as bad. Well, Hard at Work Nick, we tried to work out a deal with Marvel Unlimited. I wanted them to sponsor the show. No joke. I went through a lot of trouble to reach out to them multiple ways, and they ignored me. I'll be glad to help anybody out. Just reach out to us and let us know. Speaking of listeners. Listeners, there's apparently a Denver Post supplement. Challenge to you guys. If you can find a link to that or any way for me to read it, please share it. It's one of the few books I can't seem to find.
Yeah.
So there's that.
Neither can I.
He has a second question, too. Nick asks us, how did you guys meet and become friends? Sorry if you answered this one already. I may have missed it. Thanks, guys. Keep them coming. You know, Eddie, we often talk about this, and it gets cut all the time in my editing because I always think this isn't that important. So the quick version of it, Eddie, which won't get cut, is that we worked together at a school, and we were placed on a field trip together where we were cabin mates, and we met during the field trip. Around the same time, I don't know if it was slightly before or after, you started coming to my library to read Spider-Man books. So I had copies of, I think, like the first, let's say, 60 books in color reprints, and you were reading them and I was reading them at the same time. So that's how our friendship sort of began. Agree?
Well, correct. And when I moved away, I was really sad because I was like, oh, I will not be able to come to your library anymore. And you were like, I think I'm going to do a full read through of Spider-Man. I'm like, I want to do a full read through of Spider-Man. And that's where we are now, today. So
exactly, exactly. So there you go. Now I might.
And now you guys hate each other.
I'm actually very mean to Eddie.
I know.
Yeah, well, the listeners don't
know
that.
Very, very mean is not. Well, okay, Ian, right? You take private music lessons. Is your teacher nice to you often?
Yeah, because I'm perfect.
Cut that one. Perfect. James B is just like having a lesson. Anyways.
All right. And now it's time for the close. I am James B, joined by
Eddie.
And
Ian.
And remember, listeners,
if you're too short to be a dancer,
just go get a formula from Giant Man. Apparently they are just laying around for anyone to take. Goodbye.
Goodbye.
Bye.
You know what I didn't do, James B? We didn't do the email us at Let's Read Spider-Man.
That's pretty important.
We could do it after the close. It'd be the first time ever.
Sure. Oh man, James B, you know what we forgot?
We didn't forget it. We meant to put it here purposely.
Of course, that's why it's happening after the close. You can email us at letsreadspiderman@gmail.com or click on the link in this podcast description to join our Discord channel and connect with us through social media. Ian, how has our Discord been?
It's been awesome. It's really fun to talk to the rest of the guests and listeners.
I've been having a fun time following it, too. People are buying books and showing them to us. Very exciting stuff. Super fun.
I think I've gone way too deep into a Ian guest podcast without really I don't think I've criticized any at all in this one, as far as I can tell. So I will squeeze in at the end here for those.
Okay, there we go.
Ian, I find your responses in the Discord lacking.
Oh gosh.
We wouldn't be complete without this, Ian. All right. Thanks for joining us, Ian.
You're welcome.